Good morning, Bill Lynch with the CBS World News Roundup. The earth shook today under the Soviet Central Asian Republic of Tajikistan, wiping out several mountain villages and reportedly killing hundreds of people. The quake, measuring 6 on the Richter scale, caused massive mud and rock slides that buried at least one village. From Moscow, Barry Peterson has more on this latest Soviet disaster.
The reports about the early morning earthquake remain confused. By one estimate, as many as 1,400 died when landslides triggered by the trembler covered mud and clay village homes. But early casualty figures released during last month's massive earthquake in Armenia turned out to be wildly off the mark, more than double the actual number killed. Still, from what is known, it seems certain there was death and destruction in the small, sparsely populated villages of the mountainous republic located on the border with China and Afghanistan. 30 miles away from the epicenter in the capital city of Dushanbe, the quake was felt, but only strong enough to knock things off shelves and walls of high-rise buildings, causing no serious damage or injury. The Soviet Union is still in the midst of trying to clean up after that massive Armenian earthquake, and that job has been made worse by growing complaints and recriminations over how badly local and national officials handled that crisis. Now, there is another crisis. Barry Peterson, CBS News, Moscow.
In Argentina this morning, a group of armed civilians believed to be leftist rebels seized a small military base near Buenos Aires after a fierce gun battle in which several soldiers reportedly were killed. President Raul Alfonsín has ordered loyalist troops to storm the infantry base, and the defense ministry has beefed up security in the capital. Surrealist painter Salvador Dali, one of the world's most acclaimed 20th century artists, died today in his native town in northeast Spain. He was 84. Dali was equally known for his eccentric lifestyle and tightly curled mustache. King Juan Carlos and Queen Sofia, in a message of condolence, called Dali a universal Spaniard. Richard Morfitt of London's Tate Gallery summed up Dali's work.
Paintings were extremely highly focused and in an almost illusionistic manner with a most remarkable technique. It's like entering a dream or a nightmare when you confront one of his paintings.
Dali was the last survivor of a trio of great modern Spanish painters, the others being Pablo Picasso, who died in 1973, and John Miró, who died in 1983. A U.S. Air Force plane left Hanoi this morning for Honolulu, carrying 25 sets of remains thought to be those of U.S. servicemen missing in Vietnam. U.S. search teams have been conducting their largest ever search operation in the former war zone, but it's not yet clear what they have found. In Washington, the inauguration party's over, and George Bush is getting down to business. White House correspondent Wyatt Andrews reports.
Raise your right hand, repeat after me. I do solemnly.
It was part swearing in, part pep talk for the new White House staff on this, the first Monday morning of the Bush administration. Telling his staff it is time to get to work, President George Bush outlined several priorities other than the deficit. To get rid of the drug scourge, he said. To get private industry and volunteers involved in cleaning up the environment, and the new president asked for a cleaner, more ethical presidency.
It's a question of knowing right for wrong, avoiding conflicts of interest, bending over backwards to see that there's not even a perception of conflict of interest.
That call for higher ethics was not the only stark departure from the image projected by the Reagan administration. The work ethic, too, is already much different. The presidential staff saying this would be the norm was at work today at 6:30 in the morning, preceding the boss, Mr. Bush, who came to work at 7:20. Wyatt Andrews, CBS News, the White House.
Mr. Bush plans to speak to those marchers by telephone, and he'll also send a high-ranking emissary.
This is Ron Allen in Washington. 15 to 20 Right to Life leaders will meet with Vice President Dan Quayle later this morning. After spending the transition in relative obscurity, this emotional social issue will provide Quayle an opportunity in the public spotlight. This year's demonstrations will take place with renewed optimism because the Supreme Court has agreed to hear a case from Missouri that could allow it to reconsider the landmark Roe v. Wade decision that legalized abortion. John Wilkie is with the Right to Life movement.
We'd love them to overturn it. The opportunity is there.
Later today, the pro-life demonstrators will march to the Supreme Court. Ron Allen, CBS News, Washington.
In Miami, a dramatic finish to Super Bowl XXIII as the San Francisco 49ers scored a last-minute 20-16 victory over the Cincinnati Bengals. As described by Jack Buck of CBS Radio Sports, the winning margin was a Joe Montana touchdown pass with 34 seconds left on the clock.
Montana is back to throw. He looks and throws, end zone, touchdown! Touchdown! to John Taylor with 34 seconds left. A 10-yard touchdown pass to John Taylor.
With a Super Bowl record of 222 yards, 49ers wide receiver Jerry Rice was named Most Valuable Player. Back home, as John Blackstone reports, 49ers fans jammed the streets in celebration.
With this, the 49ers' third Super Bowl win in a decade, San Franciscans knew what was expected of them last night. 49ers! Hundreds appointed themselves town criers to spread word of the victory. In the unlikely event there was anyone in San Francisco who didn't know about it already. Then, there was the creation of the customary horn-blowing traffic jam along the scenic San Francisco Boulevard designated for such occasions.
Hey, this is the only place right here! Yeah.
And there was, of course, some discussion of the finer points of the 49er performance in Miami. Altogether, it provided exactly the shared experience a victorious city deserves. John Blackstone, CBS News, San Francisco.
Having confessed to 20 more murders, one-time law student Theodore Bundy continues trying to stave off tomorrow's date with Florida's electric chair, newsman Rick Flagg reports.
Bundy meets this morning with a private psychiatrist, and once that interview is complete, his attorneys are expected to file a claim with the governor, a claim that the convicted killer is now insane. Florida law forbids execution of the insane, and the governor would be forced to grant a temporary stay until he can convene a panel of psychiatrists to examine Bundy on death row and decide for themselves. The governor's press secretary says this entire procedure can be accomplished in as little as 24 hours, so that insanity claim is good for at least a 1 or 2 day delay. It will not be enough to save Bundy because his death warrant is good for another full week, but it could open up an entirely new issue on which to seek a stay of execution in the courts. And if this panel does agree that Bundy is insane, the execution would be put on hold. Rick Flagg for CBS News, Tallahassee.
The West German news magazine Der Spiegel reports that a West German company helped Libya modify transport planes into tankers to refuel fighter jets in midair so they can reach Israel. That report is backed up by still photos from a video showing Libyan MiGs being refueled from a C-130 transport plane. The dollar is higher, London gold is ahead 250, and on Wall Street at this hour, the Dow Industrials are up 7.5 points. 7:10.